From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever, yeah. I believe, having a new haircut. Friend, my producer, my brother, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob, back here in the saddle for another episode of Bob After Dark. How's it going, Bob?
Oh, it's going great. How about you, Count Panic? I didn't see you last week.
Yeah, Bob, you know,
timing didn't pan out.
Things get busy here in the summer, and we're all, you know, out there playing baseball and whatnot, and I know you're a big baseball guy.
Oh, I'm a huge, huge baseball guy, as you may know. I'm telling you, I'm the Chicago White Stockings.
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's still their name.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something like that. But, you know, another adventure around the sun, that is Bob, around the moon, that is
around
Bob After Dark, yeah.
Colin, you know, it's nice to be back here with you.
Yeah.
You know, but the show wouldn't start without me knowing your weekend update.
Man, Bob, let me really reflect on what went down. You know, it was a peaceful weekend, of course, as always, you know, pretty low key. You know, getting in the swing of the summer solstice, making sure things are
coming soon. Apparently, the world's ending tomorrow on the summer solstice. By the way,
is the summer solstice the
21st? Yeah, it's 21st. I believe it is tomorrow. 98.
Look here. Yeah.
I am 98.9999999% sure tomorrow is the swing. So when you would think that after years of us doing this, we would know this,
June,
right?
21st. At 9:57 a.m. officially.
So it's tomorrow.
Summer. Yeah.
Now, apparently, before I interrupt you, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But let's get go with the weekend update.
No, Bob, it was again a nice.
What'd you do? Did you do anything fun?
Nothing. Nothing crazy. Nothing.
No cookout then.
No. The cookout was the weekend, Memorial Day weekend. So whatever that weekend was. But
gotcha.
To catch up on last weekend, yes, there was a cookout. So,
okay, that's good.
Yeah. How about you?
I played some disc golf.
That's right. Last we left you, you took up the hobby of disc golf.
I played disc golf as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. By the way, I'm down 28 pounds.
From disc golf?
Well, not just from disc golf. Oh. I go to the gym since I, you know, have my little health crisis. I decided to get my, life in order. Earlier this year, I started going to the gym and stuff, and then I had a real life, you know, health crisis with my heart attack. I had to scale back on the gym a pinch to make sure my heart was healthy enough to go back to the gym. So then I just started disc golfing as much as possible, and you realize you're like walking 2 to 3 miles every time you play.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, man, I have a long way to go before I reach my health goals.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, disc golf, as far as a physical activity, is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
So disc golf was really working wonders.
It's zen, man. I'm out in the woods. I get to pretend I'm hunting, like, cryptids with a frisbee. It's kind of cool, which I do, by the way, in my headcanon.
Yeah.
You know, I find it fascinating. You know, I'm out there and I'm deep in the woods sometimes, and I keep an eye out
the
for
thick of things,
you know, any kind of weird happenings. Yeah. So I get to be Bob After Dark and disc golfing Bob all at the same time.
You do it all.
Yeah, it's a good time. So that's me. What else did I do? Oh my gosh, new show, right? I kind of binged, me and the Queen and I binged like the first 5 episodes of the show called From.
From.
Are you familiar?
No. What's it from?
From is from MGM Plus, which MGM Plus. I don't own the subscription. MGM Plus.
There's all these.
If you are listening to me, send your boy an access code. And we'll spot. You could sponsor. You won't even have to pay me.
No.
Just give me a free subscription, and I'll explain why.
We'll make it
so happen. From is on MGM Plus, but for whatever reason, it's on Amazon Prime right now. You can go and watch the first 2 seasons for the next like 2 weeks, I think. From is about the first 5 episodes at least. It's a group of people that are getting stranded in a town that is in a never-ending loop. So you go like one end and you end up on the other end of town.
Yeah.
And there's these mysterious creatures that pop out at night that resemble like vampires,
That
but they
makes
like
sense.
call out to you and they like beg you to let them in. There are so many layers to this in the first five episodes. I'm going on a whim and saying it's probably my second favorite horror show of like the
Really?
past 10 years.
What be what's the do you
Oh,
have a
Last of
first?
Us.
Last of Us.
Last of Us is really
Okay.
good. Man, I am blown away. And the one guy from The Matrix is in it. I can't think of his
Keanu
name.
Reeves.
No. He was one of the miners in The Matrix. He's the main actor. And then this guy that surprisingly looks like Bradley Cooper, but it's not Bradley Cooper's in it. I can't recommend it enough. I know we do a lot of crossover with like the horror community on Bob After Dark, so I recommend From. It's really good.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know what's hipping the horror TV show
I
world.
recommend go checking out
All
From.
right.
The first two seasons, like I said, they're on Amazon Prime for the next 2 weeks. And then I'm gonna either have to give and get MGM Plus for a free trial and then
Yeah.
delete it because I am not getting another streaming service. I
No.
have most of them now. I'm done with it. So MGM Plus, I will be happy to take a sponsorship. I will come on here and tell you
Yeah.
it's brought to you by MGM Plus. I will wear a t-shirt.
MGM
I
Plus.
just need a subscription,
MGM
please.
Plus, yes.
Anyway, so check out From. I recommend
Nice.
it. Comes with the Bob Anderson stamp of approval, and I've been playing disc golf. That's been
Disco.
my it's been my days.
Yeah, well, how about that?
Yeah.
Nice combination.
Absolutely. So if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, where we are your weekly-ish paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite TV show.
Favorite TV show, Bob, of oh gosh, you got me here. Of all time. Man, Bob. How about I don't know, a Ren and Stimpy, Bob. I don't know.
Ah, good choice,
I'm
John
just
King.
keep thinking off the top of my head here. That's a tough one. When you really have to go sit down and break it down as far as what makes
Sure.
a great TV show, I mean, and what goes into it.
Scrubs will always be mine.
Scrubs is good, but
Scrubs is my favorite.
is
Married with
Scrubs.
Children, Scrubs, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna take some. We gotta make a top 10 list.
Top 10. Welcome to Bob After
Why
Pop Culture.
don't we do Bob's top 10?
Bob Tops 10. Yeah, listen.
Where every week we'll
If
crack.
people cared about my opinions on things that aren't paranormal,
Nah,
I'd be rolling in money.
I know, right? Bob's we'll do top 10 list every. It'll be like a countdown every week here.
Yeah,
Think about
but anyway, we
it.
talk
All right,
about the
sure.
spooky stuff, if you will, and we split the show up into two parts. First part of the episode, we talk about some of the weird, creepy news of the week. That's where you, the fans, submit articles to me that are weird, paranormal, spooky, unusual, ghosts and cryptids making it into major media outlets, weird advances that borderline on science fiction, or just high strangeness in general. Take a quick break, and then when you come back, we get to the lore of the week. This month, we're celebrating Bob After Dark Camp. Camp Bob After Dark.
Yeah, Bob After
We're
Dark
talking
Camp.
about outdoorsy summertime events. I think we're going to continue that through July because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got going
And
on.
big announcement for next week, by the way, because we're going to be doing a really cool episode. You want to talk a little bit about it since
Sure.
you're the one that pretty much made it happen?
You know, well, I know a vet buddy, and I'm gonna contact him tomorrow just to lock it in. Just
All
lock
right, do
in.
we not want to announce it yet?
Well, if it's probably gonna happen next
Okay,
week,
let's go on.
but you know, here in the future, possibly next week in the future, we're gonna have a. If you're familiar with WJLB slash Jed TV, you know the show Veterans Views. Pat O'Donnell, he's on that show, and he's been a veteran for many years now. And he's got some stories he wants to share. He normally can't share these stories maybe on the Veterans Views show, but
Sure.
he could share them here on Bob After Dark. So he'll be joining us next week. And I believe we have
We
somebody
do.
else joining us.
J.R. Barajas,
Okay.
military, retired military veteran from the Navy,
Yeah.
will be coming on. We're going to be doing an open line. So we're going to have the phone lines open for all of the veterans that want to call in. Anything to do with their military ghost stories.
Yeah.
So anything paranormal that might have happened during their time in the service, or a weird legend that might have happened. I have a couple I'm going to be bringing in. I never served, but I've done some research on the topic, and I'm hoping that we'll get a lot of veterans calling in And we're going to be talking a little bit about a charity that you guys could be supporting that day, too. I am so looking forward to that episode.
Yeah, it should be a humdinger of a show.
It's going to be a great episode. By the way, we're working on that going to be like a live episode, too, correct?
We're working.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be sharing some interesting updates on that as the week to come. But stay tuned. Next week's going to be a really cool episode. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be fun.
All right, you ready to dive into the weird, spooky news of the week?
I'm ready to take a deep dive.
Yes. All right. So first news article comes to us from our old pal, Tim Benall, at Coast to Coast AM. First one is a slew of mysteriously slain farm animals cause chupacabra concerns in Guatemala.
Chupacabra concerns in Guatemala.
Residents of a village in Guatemala are calling on authorities to investigate a slew of mysterious farm animal slayings that some suspect could be the work of the infamous chupacabra. According to a local media report, the curious case is currently unfolding in the community of Tecpan, where various creatures have been found dead under strange circumstances over the last several months. Back in March, a staggering 75 chickens, ducks, and turkeys, as well as some pigs, were killed by an unknown predator that seemingly drained them of just their blood. This was followed by a second incident a few weeks later, wherein several other farm animals were taken down in a similar fashion. The execution of the animals has led many in the village to suspect that their demise was brought up by the notorious blood-sucking creature of cryptozoological lore. Some neighbors say that it could have been the chupacabra, said one resident, while others say that during the night they have heard what seems to be meowing and have seen the shape of a wolf-like animal at night. That is a very loud vehicle that just drove by the studio.
That was loud.
Yeah. Sorry, folks, because I can't edit that out. Beyond the loss of so many farm animals, many people living in the community are concerned that the predator could eventually begin targeting children. The truth is not known what kind of animal it is, another resident said concerned. What we are asking the authorities is to pay a little attention to this situation and help us identify the animal or creature that is behind all of this. I have an opinion, but that doesn't matter because the hashtag panics take is what matters the most.
Chupacabra, that's what we're all signs are pointing to here. The chupacabra?
That's apparently what they're thinking.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm no chupacabra expert by what they're...
We've done a chupacabra expert,
yeah,
though.
But am I a... You're the expert. I'm just the man that listens to the expert of the chupacabras. But the fact that these folks are talking about this, and it seems to be like the case of a chupacabra, who am I... Once again, it's one of those stories. Who am I to say it's not a chupacabra, Bob? Say it's a chupacabra.
I find it interesting that some of the neighbors are hearing a meowing wolf-like creature.
Well, that's a chupacabra.
In my years of doing research into the paranormal, the unknown, cryptozoology, et cetera, I've never heard of a wolf-like creature that meows unless it's confused on what it's supposed to be. Shape-shifting creature, maybe. Sucking the blood out of the creature, but leaving the animal, but leaving the carcass and most of the entrails left behind. I'm not going with.
No
human.
No,
I'm not going with like a human like doing this type of thing. I wish I could. And this is gonna sound gross, but I wish I could examine some of like the evidence photos because you know if it's being drained from a really large open wound and it's like, well, it could be in a knife that did this, right?
Yeah.
You know, but if it's a smaller area, because in the legend of the chupacabra, it's the spiny tongue that comes out and drains it almost like a vampire lizard. It's also interesting because people have claimed that the chupacabra was a complete hoax, but it's a very prevalent creature in Latin America lore, and I think Guatemala, pardon my ignorance, that Guatemala would fall into that category in some regard, right?
Like, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, right, something in that regard.
Exactly.
Yeah. My apologies if it's not, guys. No. But I know it's a popular thing in the region south of, you know, United States.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to know how it was drained of its blood. If it's an open enough wound, then he could be like, well, a human might be doing it for just mischievous or weird reasons. I don't know. But the fact that they're saying a meowing wolf is an interesting, that's the interesting part of the story.
Yeah.
But that's what I got.
Well, let's chalk it up to chupacabras then.
I like the way you think.
Yeah.
All right. Next news story comes to us from, once again, Tim Banal.
Yeah, yeah.
Tourists visiting Loch Ness photograph sizable submerged anomaly. Because we can't get enough of Nessie on the show, especially Panic.
Yeah, Nessie's always a treat.
A friend, oh, pardon about that, folks, I bumped the mic. A French tourist visiting Loch Ness was left scratching his head when he spotted a rather sizable anomaly that appeared to be swimming just beneath the surface of the water. The possible Nessie sighting was reportedly made by, oh boy, pardon my pronunciation on the name, Etienne. Etienne Camel.
Sounds close.
As he and his wife were vacationing in the iconic Scottish site. While taking some pictures of the commemorative commemorate their trip, he was stunned to notice something peculiar in the water. I have a picture I'll be sharing on the children, and I forget your guys' opinion. And I quote, "I saw this long shadow," Camel recalled, estimating that oddly measured about 50 to 65 feet in length. That's huge. When he called his wife over to look at the weird sight, they were both surprised to see that it was a moving and in turn making small waves. Carmel, not Camel, by the way, Carmel indicated that he initially suspected that the anomaly could have been the reflection of a cloud, but noted that there was none overhead which could account for the strange shape in the water. Well, a quick side note, folks, good job on this guy for, like, not jumping into conclusions. That's super important. Was it a cloud? I'm just saying. And according to the witness, the puzzling object lingered just below the surface of the water for several minutes before fully disappeared. Although he described himself as a man of science, he insisted that he never believed the Loch Ness Monster is a prehistoric animal. Caramel concluded that he has no explanation for what he photographed and simply mused that, and I quote, "it was quite strange." Hashtag panic.
Well, much like the chupacabra. I mean, who's to say it's not Nessie? Now, we tend to, we like Nessie here. Nessie's one of our favorites, one of my favorites. And if there's a sighting of Nessie, then who am I to say that person did not see Nessie? Now, they saw some strange things in the water there. But Bob, I'm gonna side with them on this one. It could, realistically, be Nessie.
Do you want my answer?
You don't think it's Nessie?
I think it's Nessie.
Oh well, how about that?
Yeah, you know what?
Two for two.
You know what? I'm
Chupacabra's and Nessie.
Chupacabra's an interesting one because I'm. Queen and I just chimed in saying, it might, whatever it is, it could be mimicking what the chupacabra is. Interesting theory. Appreciate that, Queen of the Night. And it's trying to sound like it, which is fascinating theory. I'm all about that. But Loch Ness, is it the straight-up concept what me, you, and Steve were talking about a few weeks ago with the Labrador, the dinosaur that it could have been?
Kind of sounds like it could be.
It could be. It could be one of them giant eels. I'm not going with a cloud. I'm going to say that whatever it is either A, Nessie, or B, relative of.
Okay. A relative of Nessie.
Relative of something.
Relative of Nessie, okay.
There's no reason to believe that Nessie's by herself down there, right? I'm going to assume Nessie's a girl just by the name. I apologize, but that's, you know, but I, who's to say that there's not multiple of these things?
Nessie.
Yes. Loch Nessie's eyes.
Nessie's wouldn't be, right?
Nessie. I like it.
Multiple Nessie.
All right, let's move on here. Yeah. Last news story of the day. And this one's an interesting one. Because it seems lately, all I talk about are Bigfoot statues being stolen.
Yeah.
Here's another lawn ornament one. Are you ready?
What's a lawn ornament? Okay.
This one's a lawn ornament, okay? So the story comes to us from Ohio. Of course, of all places, big fan of Ohio's a big fan of the show. In Piqua, Ohio, P-I-Q-U-A, a nearly 10-foot tall Halloween decoration is causing concern for some in an Ohio neighborhood after the owner of a massive plastic werewolf received notice to take it down. Owner Mary Simmons says that she bought the Halloween decoration last October, but chooses to leave it up year-round. "He has kind of become my house mascot," said Simmons.
Yeah.
"I kind of look at it as a security thing. Who wants to break into my house with a 9.5-foot werewolf sitting outside of it? I know I wouldn't." Backing her up on that claim, but moving on. Simmons also said she just loves Halloween and dresses up the werewolf, who she named Phil, for every season. We're going to get a big, we were going to get a big Hawaiian shirt and maybe some sunglasses for the summer, she said. The city of Piqua said it received an anonymous complaint about the decoration, but some neighbors see no issue with it. I'm a big horror fan, so I don't really mind it, said neighbor Haley Barker. I've watched them dress it up for different occasions, and I think it's pretty cool. The city told WKEF, which is the affiliate that I'm getting this news article from, by the way, that it gave out a warning but has no plans to further enforce the decoration's removal. Simmons said she won't take it down unless it becomes a safety hazard. I don't want somebody walking by and a head falls off hitting them, said Simmons. I try to treat people like I want to be treated, and I wouldn't want that to happen to me. Over the last few days, Phil has reached thousands on social media, and Simmons even created a Facebook page for the werewolf. Halloween is my decorating season, said Simmons. People go to fall, spring, and winter. I'm going for Halloween. At this time, Simmons said there are no safety concerns. The decoration is so strong throughout the winter and the most recent storms, and it will remain up. Hashtag panics take.
Bob, these things are kind of popular. You take the giant skeleton from Home Depot, right?
Yes.
People love that giant skeleton. They dress that giant skeleton up in different costumes throughout the year to keep it. And why not? Because it's a giant skeleton. They probably paid a lot of money. And it's just up there, and they want to celebrate it. Much like these stories here, Bob. You decorate, you put a giant decoration out, you put a giant statue out. You're going to leave it up all year around. Be proud of your giant statue, no matter what it is. I mean, I'm sure one day you'll have a giant statue, right? Or do you have a giant statue?
All right.
Do you?
Yeah, I.
You have a giant statue?
Okay.
Do you?
I have a confession to make.
You don't have a giant statue?
I have a confession to make. Yeah. It is a sad confession.
Oh, man.
I do not own the 12-foot skeleton.
What?
Or the 10-foot-tall Phil werewolf statue.
I thought you would.
I don't own either. I know. You can call me out on it.
Horrible.
I'll take it.
Sad.
Okay. Do you want my controversial opinion on this?
What?
Leave this woman alone and her werewolf, yeah, man. You know what? You want to know what may... Jeez. I don't get political on this show ever, but I'm going to get political for a moment.
No.
Do you want to know why I don't own a home yet?
Well,
other than financial reasons.
It's
because I'm afraid of HOAs. So I don't want no HOA telling me when I can and cannot put up a Halloween decoration.
Yeah, stay away from those. They don't even like birdhouses, don't they? How are they going to like
They wouldn't like me. We have a caller? A
giant skeleton. We do. We'll take it live?
Take it live. Hold on. Before you speak, caller, I'm going to use some intuition, and I'm going to say it's John call again.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there, John. Was I correct on my intuition?
You were very correct.
Excellent. What's on your mind tonight, John?
I don't know how you do it, my friend. You always amaze me with your intellectual, whatever you want to call it, their mind you got there.
Oh, you know, John, and never ceases to amaze me how amazing you are by typically never missing a week on the show.
Hey, I think I only missed two, I think.
That's a good record, John. I don't even think I missed more than two, and I host the show.
Hey, and I miss you when you're not there. So
yeah. What's your take on this giant werewolf? Do you think she should be able to leave it up all year if she decks it out to the holiday season?
If you come by my house, I am a big lawn ornament fan. I got lawn ornaments all over the front, and I'm a big decorator for stuff like that for Halloween, and but it's like storybook gardens here. That's what my wife refers to it. I mean, I got mushrooms, a big birdhouse hangs from the trees. So man, I hope that lady gets to keep that. I mean, is it harmful to anybody? I mean, it's not anything that's offensive. So why not let the lady keep it all year round?
Exactly. You know what? If she kept it static, I wouldn't complain about it anyway. I would think it's amazing, but I guess there could be a complaint maybe. But the fact that she dresses it up for the holidays makes it even more festive, and I say don't complain about it.
Well, Baker Square has a Christmas tree up all year round, so why not have the lady decorate her her whatever she wants all year round.
John, I'm right there with you. You know, Cracker Barrel's about to be putting up their tree in like 3 weeks. So, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, well, mark me down for in favor of it. So, if the lady needs anything, backup, Bob After Dark callers will go after her.
Absolutely. You know, John, I'm actually going to reach out to her and see if we can get an interview with her on the show. Like, I know we always try to say we're going to follow up with these, but I'm going to make my producer behind the glass actually get...
Try to find her?
We're going to find... Well, she has a Facebook page, so we're going to see if we can reach out for an interview.
Track her down.
That would be great. Sure.
Absolutely. Well, John, I appreciate you calling in, as always.
All right, Bob. You have a nice evening.
You too. Folks, I'm interested to hear your opinion on the werewolf. Should the werewolf be kept up all year round? And if you tell me no, I'm going to fight you.
Who cares? Just,
you know what? Let people enjoy it. I, for one, happen to know a group of people that go Halloween shopping on July 5th.
July 5th
is when certain stores start putting up their Halloween decorations. And if a certain someone is not free on July 5th and somebody is, they send the other person to go out. And I assure you, because I am that person that was sent out to go look for a blanket last year. I think it was at TJ Maxx. It might have been Home Goods. Let's just say it was Home Goods, okay, for the sake of argument.
Yeah.
I was sent to Home Goods to go look for a specific Halloween blanket that was coming out on July 5th or 6th last year. And I remember this because I went to go see the new Thor movie that came out last year. I got out of the Thor movie and I went to go to I think it was Home Goods again. I could be wrong. Marshall's maybe even. But anyway, I go in and I kid you not, there are a group of ravishing people raving to get their Halloween decor on July 6th.
On July 6th.
I kid you not. I picked up a pillow, a Halloween pillow, to take a picture and send it to the Queen of Night and say, do you like this pillow? I set it down, and within a matter of seconds, somebody came over with their cart full of Halloween decor and snatched it up and put it in their cart. I was having anxiety. It baffled me. But you know what? It makes them happy. And does it hurt anybody other than maybe getting my arm chewed off? No. And you know what? If I owned one of the 12-foot skeletons or the 9-foot werewolf, I would have that out in my yard all year round, too.
You spend the coin to get the giant statue.
Believe and listen, I am Bob After Dark. I'm a paranormal podcast radio host. If I do not have a giant statue in front of my home, if I was able to have one, if I had one, I'd have it up all year round. 1,000%, no questions asked, because would you expect that from me anyway? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, people, one day, Bob, it's going to get to the point where people are going to have giant Bobs.
Can you imagine a Bob in Panic, like, inflatable Halloween inflatable?
Statues or something like that. But giant, they're going to be like, take that Bob down. Neighbors be like, take that Bob down. And they're going to be a big ruckus in the neighborhood. But it might come to that where Home Depot has a giant Bob outside. Yeah, let the woman have her giant werewolf.
Count Panic, what's our phone number here? It's 219-845-1100.
219-845-1100. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, that makes no sense.
Oh, don't call. Listen, if you're listening to the podcast, don't call when it's not Tuesdays. Because
usually.
Don't call in unless you know we're recording live. Because you're going to call in during some guy named Tony Panic's show.
That might happen during an afternoon program or whatnot. But yeah, if you're listening to this in live time, it's 219-845-1100.
That's just my don't call in, because you're gonna get that Tony Panic in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You're gonna be like, oh, I want to call about some ghost stuff, and you're gonna be like, what are you calling about? Trying to tell you traffic.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense.
All right, Count Panic. So those are my thoughts. I feel bad for the woman and her. Yeah. For the people, we're going to track her down for an interview, because I think she deserves
vindication.
She deserves gratitude from people that care, and I actually care about this woman and her werewolf statue.
Yeah.
All right, Count Panic. Without further ado, how about a break?
You want?
Hope we have a caller. Take the caller live.
You want to take it live?
Take it live.
We'll take it live then.
Caller, you're on.
This is historic.
This is historic. Right before I was going on break, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Veronica.
Hi, Veronica. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. I just wanted to ask, what do you think about the Titanic submersible situation going on right now?
I am... It's a hard thing to... I don't know, man. Claustrophobia is not my normal phobia, but I will tell you, hearing these stories is definitely... scary. Modern technology kind of failing people at the bottom of the ocean, and being trapped down there. Now that's real fear.
They're gonna die.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
There's a billionaire down there with them right now.
Well, I believe it was $250,000 for a ticket to take the submarine.
Yeah, it is. And they took a billionaire down there from, I think he's British, but interesting.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, I don't know, and there's a lot of questions I have. One, it just feels like anything you touch with the Titanic is cursed as far as relating back to it. But it's a sad situation because you're right. They are down there. Rescue plans, I don't know how... rescue plans are going to go. I don't think you can reach them. We had a call in earlier about that, about just the fact that, you know, being able to save them down there. So it's a terrible situation all around here, Bob.
It's a horrifying thing. That is true fear, guys. You know, you want to talk about, like, we talk about things that go bump at night, things that are scary, but that is legitimate fear. What's your take on it, Veronica?
Well, they only have, I think they went down Sunday, and they only have oxygen till Wednesday or Thursday, so this is super creepy, and the fact that they're going to visit the Titanic, it's like, is it some sort of, like, lore, like, oh no, the rich people are going to die, because they do have a billionaire down there with them.
Maybe there's something to it.
We got to ask Veronica where she's calling from. We got to ask Larry King.
Veronica, where are you calling from?
Wisconsin.
We miss Wisconsin.
We're big in Wisconsin.
We're big in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Please come back. We love you.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. We appreciate that. We hope you have a spooky evening.
Absolutely.
All right. Wisconsin. That's a good place. You got cheese curds. Yeah. All right, Count Panic, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, for our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And for our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back.
Hey, that one didn't take long at all. We're here.
What did what'd you do during break, Count?
Bob, during the break, I went to that werewolf statue.
You went to the werewolf statue. You pay tribute to the werewolf statue.
And I just stared in amazement at the werewolf statue, and I was like, wow, this can't come down. And then I rushed back here to continue the rest of this show. What did you do?
You know, I consulted Dr. Ben Vanerson on how to hunt a chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I got to protect that livestock in Guatemala. So me and Dr. Ben were preparing to go hunt down a chupacabra.
Oh, really? That's going to take place.
That's the plan.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Count Panic, welcome to Camp Bob After Dark.
Oh, get the s'mores out.
S'mores. You want to know... What I would say is that if I said the word summer to you, I would say the keywords that would come up, right? Barbecue, eating outside, patio, layouts types of deals
disc
like that.
Disc golf.
Yeah. So even though people play disc golf all year round.
Really?
True story. People were playing out during the snowpocalypse a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Barbecues, camping, that's why you're here at Camp Bob After Dark. But what?
Swimming.
Swimming, but specifically, where would you swim during the summer if you don't own a pool?
I guess people go to the lake.
The lake is correct.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think you and I were spoiled. We grew up on Lake Michigan all of our lives. So going out to the lake, for me at least, I grew up literally on the beach.
Yeah.
I could go outside my house and see the lake from my house, you know, and then the beach was. 5-minute walk.
That lake, though, it gets warm around October, right?
Yeah, it never gets warm. I swear it.
It's always cold.
You know, but the concept of a lake is like the most synonymous summer thing you could possibly think of. And there are some very, really creepy lore behind lakes. Specifically, lake monsters.
That's true. There's a lot of lakes. You know, I don't know. We're probably going to get into the thick of things here, but around Lake Michigan, you never know.
Absolutely. But so I could do an entire series on lake monsters. There's Champy, which was the cop-out one right away from Lake Champlain out in New York. That's like one of the most popular lake monsters. And there's a lot of them. Even Lake Michigan has the Lake Michigan monster. That is a very interesting noise coming from that vehicle.
I think it's a firework, Bob.
I believe it's fireworks and not coming from the vehicle, but no. I digress.
Fireworks coming from the vehicle would be horror. A vehicle would be not that good, Bob.
That wouldn't be good at all.
People are celebrating Bob After Dark tonight.
Yes. So I decided to dive a little deeper, no pun intended, on the concept of a lake monster. And we're going to be talking from Oregon.
Okay.
The Walla, the Walla, the Waola,
Waola.
Yes.
Waola.
I want you to know that I practiced this for a long time, and it's W-A-L-L-O-W-A.
Wow.
Walola.
Walola.
Wow. What? Follow along with me. What?
What?
La.
La.
Walla. Yes.
Walla.
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 The Walla'a.
The Walla'a.
It's a lake in Oregon.
Lake Walla'a.
In?
Oregon.
In Oregon. The Walla Lake in Oregon.
Okay.
And they have a creature there named by the name of Wally.
Wally. The Walla'a.
Yes. It is described as being roughly 8 to 20 feet long and is hump-shaped. A local legend among the Nez Perce tribe states that when the Nez Pierce and Blackfeet were at war, the daughter of the Nez Perce chief fell in love with the son of a Blackfoot chief. One night, the couple took a canoe from the Nez Perce camp and rowed out on the lake. By the way, Nez, N-E-Z-P-E-R-C-E, rowed out on the lake. Eventually, the rival tribes realized what was happening and sought out after them. The monster then came up out of the lake, attack them, killing them all. Mm. To this day, the Nez Perce do not venture out on the lake. An article was written about the local, it was written in the local paper on November 5th, 1885, detailing a local resident's encounter with the monster. A prospector who refused to give his name to the public, which makes total sense. And a lot of skeptics are like, well, that's convenient. No, I'm going to put a pause in this real quick. Mm. If you encountered something paranormal, spooky, unusual, coming forward will sometimes make you come out to being like a crazy.
Yeah.
So totally understand why the prospector didn't give his name, but let's move on. A prospector who refuses to give his name to the public was coming down from the south end of the lake on last Friday evening in a skiff shortly after dusk. When about midway of the lake, he saw an animal about 50 yards to the right of the boat rear its head and neck up out of the water 10 or 12 feet. But on setting him, it immediately dived. So the second it looked at him, it dove deep. Mm-hmm. So this thing raised its head out of the water, just its head, 10 to 12 feet, and then just dived immediately. He ceased rowing and gazed upon in astonishment for the strange apparition which he had just seen when it raised about the same distance to the left, this lime giving a low bellow something like that of a cow. It also brought its body to the surface, which the prospector avers was 100 feet in length. By the way, I'm quoting this news article directly, so some of these words are 1800 speak. Bear with it, okay? The monster glided along in sight for several hundred yards. It was too dark to see the animal distinctly, but it seemed to have a large, flat head, something like that of a hippopotamus, and its neck, which was about 10 feet in length, was as large around as a man's body. Now, the story may seem coy in the imagination of the narrator, but he was very earnest in his recital. However, It is a known fact that there is a tradition among the natives that the lake has a big sea cow in it, which on one occasion, many years ago, came up one evening and swallowed a young warrior and his dusky bride as they were gliding over the surface of the lake in a canoe. And to this day, a native tribe and its who formerly frequented the shores cannot be induced to go upon its waters. The lake has been sounded of the depth of about 270 feet, which is pretty deep, by the way, and it's bare probability that some monster does inhabit its unexplored depths. Since then, there have been a few sightings of the creature. In 1932, two residents of the area saw the monster and described it as a longer than their 11-foot boat. Irene Wiggins, who lived along the lake, claimed to have spotted the creature many times between the years 1945 and 1983. She described the monster's head as a big black thing, like a hog's head, and estimated around 100 pounds or more. In 1950, three people saw two monsters feeding on fish, the first being 16 feet long and the second being 8 feet long, which is a big difference between the two sizes. In 1978, a couple people claimed to have seen the creature twice. First, they saw three hump-like protrusions break the surface of the lake briefly. Second, they watched an approximately 20-foot-long snake-like creature a certain portion of the lake for several minutes. In 1981, two men spotted the monster. And over the years, that thing has become very synonymous with the area that it resides in. And so, thus, we have the Walla Lake Monster.
So that's where the origin story goes, in the Walla.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your take on it?
Well, again, it's I believe the origin story. I believe everything that goes behind it. I believe the Walla is out there. Now, this is just is there more than one occurrence of this, or is this just seems to be it's just kind of hanging out around there? Or
well, I mean, you know, we talk about lake monsters all over the world, and even here in America, we have several. Like I even said, we had Champy, which we could talk about next time. You know, this thing is very, very common.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's concepts. There's always talks of the creatures in lakes, very serpent-like. I think it's interesting that they called it a sea cow back in older days. Because that's a very synonymous creature that doesn't look anything snake-like. And I thought it was interesting that somebody else said it had a boar-looking head, but a snake-like body that was a giant snake.
Yeah.
So what exactly are we looking at here? You know, when we look at the Loch Ness Monster, we call it maybe a prehistoric, species of dinosaur that just kind of escaped and lived under the lock forever. But this is just giant snake-like creature.
Yeah.
So where do you think it comes from?
She's a giant snake-like creature. I mean, we're from the ground, probably, right? Like my image is like a giant sand snake kind of popping up there for this giant creature like that. But I could be wrong here. Maybe at the bottom of the lake, Bob. Maybe at the bottom of the lake.
Do you believe it's real?
Bob. Who am I to question things around here? I believe it's real, of course. Confirmed. Maybe not 100%, but still, we gotta take the side of the folks here. What do you think? You think it's just all a lot of hoopla, don't you? I could tell. You think it's a lot of hoopla.
I think there's something there.
Oh, never mind.
I think there's a lot of differing how big it is. There's a big difference between calling something 8 feet and 16 feet.
Is it a tall tail? A shark tail? What do they call them? Tall tail. Tall tails.
A snake tail.
Snake tail, yeah. Yeah. So there's some maybe some extending here going on. Some overreaching, if you will.
I would say so.
All right.
Have you ever heard of a lake monster creature yourself?
The lake myself? Like, have I ever heard of one, or have I dealt with one, or just heard about one?
I'm just saying in general. Like, what's your take on like lake monster lore in general?
I like it. See, this is the stuff that kind of get the campers riled up too. I don't want to bring up Camp Crystal Lake because that's just a horror movie with Jason Voorhees running around with a chainsaw, which is a little different than a regular lake monster out there. But you tell these stories around a lake, and you start believing the hype that there are lake monsters wandering about, that you could be taken away by a lake monster at any second. Now, that doesn't mean the lake monster even has to be in the lake. It could be just walking around the lake, too. Let's think about the Creature from the Black Lagoon or some case like that. So it could be really any one of those variations. But I like the stories of the lake monsters. I think it gives people something to talk about. Say you're going out there on a boat. You tell some stories about the lake monster that's on the lake you are boating in, and it gets the old blood flowing. Now, are they out there? Sure.
All right.
Maybe they're not all true, but I know they're out there.
So written in the Walla.com, written by Ellen Morris Bishop, this was back in June 19th, 2019, a group of scientists actually went in with intensive sonar, video, and visual inspection of the part of the lake's bottom. And apparently, Wally, the lake creature, has seemed to have gone in hiding. But there appears to be a lot more than mud, rock, and barrels at the bottom of the lake. So they have discovered a lot of different things down there. A lifeguard stand from that might have dated back to the 1920s. Two-wheeled horse carts, or what's left of it, and a horse-drawn plow. So a lot of different interesting things are kicking around on the bottom of the lake, but Wally himself, they did not find during the time of going through and, you know.
I believe Sonny Santana here, who helps out station.
Hey, Sonny, how you doing?
Hello, he has you saw a lake monster once, right?
Yes, over there in Lake Michigan, right by the Wahala Beach.
Did you actually see it, or is that a tall tale there, Sonny?
I saw a five-eye fish.
That's kind of blinky. I've heard that before. Get him out of here.
Sorry, Bob. I'm sorry. He's told me off air he had a story to share, and now look at him. He's ruining the show like this. Get him out. Get out of here. I'm sorry about that, Bob. You know, people kind of, they send in their stories. I believe them, and then it doesn't really help their cause. But, Bob, as far as the one you were just talking about before Sonny mentioned his fish story, seems like it could be a thing too as well. It seems very believable to me.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But the fact that they went through there with sonar and visuals and stuff and they didn't see it, even if Wally passed, I think there'd be some sort of carcass left behind, right?
You would think so, yeah.
But what did that person see on the lake that day, and what scared that native tribe that much not to go back on that lake? That is an interesting...
Well, you see something once, it's going to probably... not want you to go back on that lake, or at least the same lake ever again, because some things happen. I mean, look at Lake Michigan itself. I know Lake Michigan, probably compared to a lot of these stories, it's a huge lake. It's one of our great lakes.
Sure.
But think about how big it is and how deep it is and how wide it is. There's got to be several things in there that we don't know about.
Sure. You got to look at, I preach this a lot on the show when we talk about, you know, lore and stories told, especially from the native side. A lot of the times people would tell these stories as a parable to try to tell some sort of lesson, to teach a lesson, right? You know, don't go into that lake, because in reality, the lake is, it's 270 feet deep, they said at one point, which is a really deep area. You know, and if there's an undercurrent or something like that, that's a very dangerous thing. So we tell the kids don't go in the lake, maybe they won't go in the lake. But if we tell them there's a giant snake monster with a boar head, they probably would avoid the lake. I'm not going to downplay it that the thing might not have existed, because it wasn't just them that saw it. We had the story of the one gentleman who was out there after a long night and said he saw the thing raise its head 12 feet out of the water. And you have local residents that are saying they have seen it over the time as well. You know, when I think of lake monsters, Wally's not the first thing that comes to mind. So I don't believe that they're using it for a tourist destination. You know, a lot of times when you look at these, the paranormal stories, you know, you draw big crowds to this area to look for it. Loch Ness, you know, Mothman Fest, whatever it might be. So what do you gain from lying of saying you've seen it, especially different people that weren't related to the story at all, you know, residents to that area? I'm going with there's a potential something down there, or there was something down there and it left, or maybe it passed, whatever it might be.
Yeah, for sure. It could be something that has since passed on that's just kind of laying at the bottom there, Bob. You might be right about that.
All right. Count Panic, do you have any closing words for our audience tonight?
Why, the fireworks are going off in celebration of Camp Bob After Dark. I didn't know you planned a fireworks show at the end of the camp out.
I did. You know, that was my big finale.
Yeah. Every night after Camp Bob After Dark, there's a firework presentation.
Yes, it's in the budget.
By the mess hall, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Midnight snacks. But Bob, again, lake. I'm not a strong swimmer, Bob, so I'm not going to be going in that much into the lake regardless. So I really have nothing to worry about these.
Vampires can't cross running water, can they?
We could walk on. Can we walk on water? No?
Don't you know your own lore?
Never tried it.
Oh, jeez.
I better not try it now.
But I wouldn't recommend it. You never know what's going to happen. I'm not much of a strong swimmer either, but no. I'll come get you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Bob. Yeah.
Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Pank, we just want to say good night, sweet dreams to all of you, to my mom, no matter where you are. Well, Mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. I know where you are. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, safe, and comfortable. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.